gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
Scott Seidenberg in for Anita Marks here. It's the Weekend Wager on ESPN New York 98.7. And there is so much to sweat right now in the sports betting world. Yes, the NBA season is in the books. Congratulations once again. The Golden State Warriors cash as the NBA champs, the fourth time in the last eight seasons. Steph Curry, your finals MVP. I guess that means I could do this. Sound of me ripping up the ticket on my 1,000-to-1 Marcus Smart to win finals MVP. That was just not going to happen there. Hey, I took a long shot. I can't blame it. Kid took a shot and he missed. Major League Baseball going on in progress right now. If you're sweating these out, they're in the ninth inning in D.C. Phillies lead the Nationals 6-5. Yankees and Mets are both still in action. Bottom of the eighth in Toronto. The Yanks with a 10-3 lead over the Blue Jays. This one looks to be in hand. Same thing with the Mets and Marlins in the eighth. The Queens Mets with a 10-3 lead over Miami. You got the Red Sox in control with the Cardinals 6-1 in the ninth. Bottom of the ninth, the Tigers looking to scratch one, but they can't because Rangers lead 7-0. White Sox trail the Astros 5-3 now in the bottom of the sixth. Rockies a 6-0 lead over the Padres in the fifth inning. And then early on, some West Coast games here. Royals with a 1-0 lead over the A's. The Diamondbacks a 2-1 lead over the Twins. And still to come, Angels and Mariners from Seattle. Seattle minus 140 with Robbie Ray on the hill against Michael Lorenzen. And the Dodgers take on the Guardians. No Mookie Betts in the lineup. And L.A. a heavy favorite there. Clayton Kershaw on the hill against Zach Plesac. L.A. minus 290 with a total of 8 in that game. Me personally, I'm sweating out this Twins Diamondbacks. I took the Twins in the first 5 innings and off to a good start. Byron Buxton solo home run to lead off the game, but then in the bottom of the first, a 2-run home run for the Diamondbacks gives them a 2-1 lead. Taking a look at both of these pitchers in Devin Smeltzer and Madison Bumgarner, Smeltzer on the season 5-0-1 in the first 5 innings. And Madison Bumgarner 3-9-1 in the first 5 innings. So I really love the Twins in this matchup, and we'll see if they can get to Mad Bum some more there. They do have a runner on in the top of the second inning. Keep you updated on everything going on in the Major League Baseball world. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. It's a big historical day for New York sports. Here we are, June 17th. June 17th, 1994 was the day that the O.J. chase occurred during the Knicks Game 5 win of the NBA Finals against the Rockets. And it was also the day of the Rangers Stanley Cup parade. So a historical day in New York sports on this day in 1994. You know, I was looking at some of the things going on with the Mets and the Yankees, and looking at their schedule, looking at their odds, and looking at the futures market as well. And I actually believe, first of all, there's no value in betting on the Yankees to win the division. The Yanks have a huge lead. They're not going to lose this lead. So as of 2 days ago, the Yankees, like right now, they're going to win this game against the Blue Jays, barring a historic collapse. But they're going to be 48-16. When they were 46-16, that was the 62 game mark, right? So 100 games left in the regular season. And if the Yankees just went 50-50 for the rest of the season, and it looks like right now they're off to a 2-0 start, they would finish with 96 wins. And obviously, this team is way too good to just go 50-50. They're going to finish something like probably 65-35, maybe even better. I mean, this team is destined to win over 100 games. They're going to exceed their preseason win total. And when it comes to the futures market, they are going to win the division. They're minus 500 right now on BetMGM. That's just absurd. And no value in taking anybody else. I don't believe that the Yankees will lose this lead in the division. But look at their odds to win the American League. You see, the Yankees right now to win the American League are your favorites at plus 225. The Astros are your second favorite at plus 275. Blue Jays plus 500. Then you got the White Sox at 8-1. First off, I don't even know if the White Sox are going to make the playoffs. Rays are at 10-1, Twins 16-1. Like, there's no one else I would buy in on right now besides like the Yankees or the Astros, probably. So this number is going to continue to shrink as the Yankees continue to win. But when this team gets to the playoffs, keep in mind, we have a new playoff format this year in Major League Baseball. You're going to have the top records get the bye, and then there's an extra wild card team. And then when it comes down to the division series and then the league championship series, the way the Yankees rotation has been pitching, who's capable of beating this team 4 out of 7 times? I'm not talking about the World Series. When we get to the World Series, it's a whole another discussion. But in terms of just winning the American League, let's say it's the Astros they face in the LCS. The Astros, they're in first place right now, very comfortably. But is that because of how well they're playing or because of how bad that division is? And think about this. The Angels lost 14 games in a row, and they were still in second place in the division. That's how bad the division is. Meanwhile, in the American League East, they could send 4 teams to the postseason with the extra wild card now. The Yankees have a plus 131 run differential coming into tonight's game that will increase with this win. They're winning 10-3 right now. So they're going to have I'm not going to guess. We'll see what happens when this game ends. But it'll be their 8th straight win. They'll have over 130 run differential, the best in Major League Baseball. And the next best team in the American League is the Red Sox, believe it or not, who are 13.5 games back, and they have a plus 53 run differential. The Houston Astros are good. Their lineup is solid. Yordan Alvarez is probably behind Aaron Judge, the next favorite to win the American League Most Valuable Player Award, right? I mean, is there anybody else in the American League that you would consider ahead of Yordan Alvarez? Or maybe Jose Ramirez and Shohei Ohtani. I guess those would be the guys. I'd go Judge, Ohtani, Ramirez, and Yordan Alvarez. But besides Justin Verlander, who scares you in that rotation? So when it comes to those two teams going up against each other, the Yankees are going to be favored. The Yanks will be favored in every series they play. So if you like the Yanks to win the American League, plus 225, that number is definitely going away. It's absolutely going away. And it's weird to have the conversation sometimes about value because there's no value in that number anymore. You lost the value in that number weeks ago. But in terms of where it is now compared to where it's going to be in another week, in another 2 weeks, in another month, then yeah, the time to get in is now on the New York Yankees. We're going to continue to have the conversation about the futures market in Major League Baseball because there are division races that we could certainly pick up on and try and find some good plays there. There are teams that I would like to fade as well, taking a look at their division odds. And then there's the awards market, which I still think can be lucrative, but the same concerns there. Whenever you're talking about a future, the value sometimes is lost compared to what the number was. And I hate when people talk about, I got a bet in at this number. I got a bet in at this number. How does that help you, the audience? What helps you, the audience, is discussing where the number is now. And if that's a good bet to make right now, like Aaron Judge to win the American League MVP, he is at minus 110. There's no value in that number. But if you truly believe that he's got the strong enough lead, then all you're really betting against right now is not the other players. You're betting against an injury. And you're just hoping that Aaron Judge stays healthy because of the lead that he has built up statistically and just in the narrative around Major League Baseball. He is going to be your American League most valuable player. I'm Scott Sadenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. We will continue to update you on everything going on in Major League Baseball, games in progress right now, all the West Coast games. We'll talk about the U.S. Open leaderboard, any plays possibly for round three up at Brookline, Massachusetts, plus Stanley Cup Final Game 2 coming your way tomorrow. Who do we like between the Lightning and the Avalanche, plus the Major League Baseball schedule coming up here for Saturday?
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, all season long, listen to 98.7 ESPN for ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now, get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Sunday Night Baseball this week is going to be the White Sox and the Astros. White Sox and the Astros are playing right now in the Apple TV game. Now, there is, I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, but there is some talk around the interwebs about the totals during these Apple TV Friday games. And if you've noticed, there has been a lot of runs scored during these Apple TV Friday games. I'm not accusing Juiced Ball with anything, whatever. Just sometimes it happens to be a coincidence. Total for this game between the White Sox and the Astros opened up at 7.5. And I understand it because Framber Valdez was on the hill to start this game for Houston, and he's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. I mean, you look at his advanced numbers, they're just fantastic. And then you have Lucas Giolito, who on the surface is a top pitcher, but has not performed that way as of late. Total got pushed up to 8, and right now it is 6-3. So the total has already gone over, and looking for more runs are the Astros, who have the bases loaded in the bottom of the 6th inning. Mets and Yankees still in progress right now. Yankees keep adding to their lead. They're up 12-3. Mets lead the Marlins 10-4. They just got out of a bases loaded jam in the 8th inning. Your late games, bottom of the 2nd inning, Arizona with a 2-1 lead over the Twins. Angels and Mariners are scoreless in the 1st. Guardians and Dodgers are also scoreless in the 1st inning. I wanted to take a look at the games coming up here for Saturday, because it's definitely going to be a fun schedule on the board. Action starts bright and early. It's a early day game from Chicago, Cubs and Braves. The Braves, by the way, and the Cubs both snapping big streaks. The Braves won 14 straight games before losing to the Cubs 1-0. And the Cubs lost 10 straight games before winning this game against the Braves, a 1-0 game. So where does the value lie here for Saturday afternoon? Atlanta listed as an early minus 170 favorite with Kyle Wright on the hill, who has been fantastic for them this season. Kyle Wright, I guess he's like the ace of the staff, right? I mean, you're looking at them and it ain't Charlie Morton.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And maybe it's the rookie, Spencer Strider, and we'll have plenty to talk about him coming up in a couple of minutes here. But the last time, or the only time, that Kyle Wright pitched against the Cubs, seven innings of three hit baseball, allowed just one run, walked four, though, and struck out eight. And he will be opposed by Justin Steele, who has a very poor record this season. He is 1-5. He's got a 4.33 ERA. But the numbers sometimes don't tell the story. You see, what you have to do is, if you're really serious about betting baseball, you need to understand a lot of advanced stats, a lot of expected numbers. You have to look at a pitcher's FIP, you know, the fielding independent pitching. You have to look at their expected ERA, their expected FIP, their ex-WOBA. Now, these are all sabermetric stats that bore people, but what they do tell you when you look at a pitcher's expected stats is how lucky or unlucky are they getting? And do the numbers match up with exactly what you're seeing on the surface? So if I see a guy like a Justin Steele, let's say, who is starting the game for the Cubs, and on the surface, I look at Justin Steele and I see a 1-5 record and a 4.33 ERA. That does not look good. But then I start to dive in and I'm thinking about looking at his expected numbers. And I see that Justin Steele has a 2.99 ex-WOBA, which really calculates all the quality of the contact that you give up. He's got an ERA of 4.33, but his expected ERA is over a run lower at 3.24. So in reality, Justin Steele is not pitching as poorly as his surface numbers would indicate. And another thing that I like to check on is, you know, besides the quality of contact, like, how are you getting hit hard? And Justin Steele, if you look at some of these advanced numbers, Justin Steele has one of the fewest barrel percentages in Major League Baseball. And what that means is he's not getting squared up a lot. He's not giving up hard contact. His hard hit percentage is only 33%. And yeah, the Braves are slugging the ball all over the ballpark, but this is an offense that just slowed down and scored only one run here at Wrigley. They had two hits in this game. Keegan Thompson went six innings, two hits, no runs, and then three relievers combined for no hits, three walks, and two strikeouts. And the Cubs win 1-0 with a run in the bottom of the eighth. Right now, up on BetMGM, taking a look at this game, the Cubs are plus 145 to the Braves minus 175. Looking at the pitching matchup and seeing that a guy like Justin Steele is not pitching as poorly as his numbers or his advanced numbers tell you the story compared to his actual numbers, I might consider a flyer on the Cubs or maybe a first five play. Just avoid the bullpens and just handicap the starting pitchers. I play a lot of first five innings in Major League Baseball. I find that it's much easier for me to handicap the starting pitching because sometimes the bullpens are a crapshoot. And there's been countless times where my team takes a lead into the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning and then blows it, and I lose my bet. And it's just so frustrating. I mean, look at what just happened. I mean, perfect example, right? I mean, we're talking about games going on in progress. We're talking about, handicapping first five versus full game bets. The Phillies and the Nationals, right? Phillies score two runs in the top of the eighth inning to tie the game at five. In the ninth inning, Matt Vierling hits a solo home run. It's 6-5 Phillies going to the bottom of the ninth inning. And what has been the biggest problem for the Phillies all season? It's been their bullpen. And what happened? The Nationals have tied the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. If you would have bet the first five, it would have been a tie. It would have been a push because the Phillies and Nationals were tied at three after five innings. But maybe that's not the best example. I'm just giving you an example of a bullpen blowing a game. So for me, I'm a big F5 guy. And like I said, like one of my bets that I'm sweating out right now is this Twins and Diamondbacks in the first five innings, because I handicap both these starting pitchers. And Smelter, in my opinion, had the edge over Madison Bumgarner. The numbers, the profit margins completely dictate that. And here we are. You know, Twins scored one early, gave two back, but now they're in the top of the third. They got a runner on third right now. Hopefully they get this tying run in. And we have a situation where they at least tied this thing up here in the third. And ideally, I'd like them to have a lead. Elsewhere, you got the Dodgers get the leadoff runner on. No Mookie Betts in the lineup for the Dodgers tonight. So no score right there between the Dodgers and the Guardians. No score between the Angels and the Mariners as well.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joining me now to break down some Mets, some Yankees, and all things, I guess, a little Major League Baseball, some futures talk as well, as Will Hill. Will hosts the New York City Cast for the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You find it on vsin.com/podcasts. Will, thanks so much for joining me here on the Weekend Wager. How nervous should the Mets be right now with the Atlanta Braves on their heels all of a sudden in the National League East?
Yeah, I think you should be nervous. And again, it's probably, you know, you're probably being a little greedy if you're the Mets. I understand that you got a 10.5 game lead. You expect to, hey, maybe, you know what, your mind wanders. Maybe we can run and hide in this thing. But if you just look big picture, you're in a division with the World Series champions. You got nothing out of DeGrom, who's probably the best pitcher in baseball when he's healthy, although it's been a year or so. And you got Scherzer, who's gone, been out a month or so. So the idea that you're going to be down these two pitchers, you have the World Series champs in your division, and the fact that you thought you're never going to be threatened was probably a little too optimistic. So look, you still got a four-game lead. You got Scherzer coming back. Sounds like he's going to be back before the end of June. I guess one rehab start next week, assuming no setbacks. And then that series, I think it's against Miami, the last week of June, that 27th, 28th, around there. Scherzer will be back with the Mets. So DeGrom, I know, is throwing a bullpen. Hopefully there's good news. And, you know, maybe at some point you got to get this guy back on a mound for a rehab start, something. I mean, all it is bullpens and flat ground. But look, you know, you're in for a pennant race. The Braves just seem to have an endless supply of prospects. I mean, I'm sure you've seen Strider, who's just incredible. Throws the ball 101 miles an hour, just incredible stuff, and a great mustache too, by the way. Michael Harris comes up. You know, he's got a chance to win Rookie of the Year to go with Acuna, who's back. And I mean, you just look at the lineup for the Braves, the pitching. You knew they weren't going to slump forever. They're too good. They have too much talent. So, look, there's nothing wrong with a pennant race, and I think it's if you're a Mets fan, it's a whole summer of not only following the Mets and watching the Mets, but checking out Atlanta and seeing what they're doing.
So today began a stretch of 11 games against both Miami and Houston. And in both Miami series, the Mets will run up against Sandy Alcantara, the likely Cy Young Award winner in the National League. Well, him and Joe Musgrove right now are the two top favorites. Of these 11 games, what record would you like to see the Mets get? What's a realistic expectation for them here?
Yeah, of course, the Miami pitching's good, and you follow Alcantara. And by the way, you get bonus points for saying his name correctly. Everyone calls him Alcantara, which I actually
think bothers me so much because he's the best pitcher in baseball, and he deserves more respect than that.
Yeah, it shows you how underrated he is, where you hear people all the time. I would say 80-90% of the
Alcantara.
People, I know, all the time. Which it reads as Alcantara. And look, if you're just following these games on your phone or fantasy or whatever, or betting, you wouldn't know how it's pronounced, but it shows you he's the Cy Young favorite. And maybe, you know, he's so under the radar that people don't even know how to pronounce his name, that maybe that doesn't speak well for his chances. But to get back to your question, what is it, 11 games, 12 games? I would say 7-4. 6-5 isn't terrible. The Marlins usually drive the Mets crazy. And again, they're not a good team, but they're an uncomfortable team to play just because of the pitching, not just, you know, Alcantara, but Lopez and Cabrera with his 96 mile an hour changeup. The Marlins are kind of a pain in the neck. So, I think if you go 7-4, that's pretty good. 8-3 would be great. 6-5 is kind of that, you know, break even point where if you go sign for 6-5 right now, Atlanta's schedule is going to get a little tougher here too, by the way. I know they finish up with the Cubs this weekend, but after that, they finally are done with the Pirates and the Nats for a little bit. They get the Giants, the Dodgers, and some of these better teams down the stretch here for the next week or two. So you know, probably 7-4 is good. 6-5 is okay. And, you know, 8-3 would be really good. Something like that.
I got to be honest. I'm going to be on the Marlins probably in both of those starts with Alcantara against the Mets. Because maybe the Marlins will be underdogs and I'll get a good either a plus money price or maybe plus a half a run in the first five innings. Something like that would be a play for me to look at those two games specifically.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, it's too bad DeGrom's not back. Can you imagine a DeGrom-Alcantara matchup? That total, I don't know if we go lower than 5.5. I think 5.5 is the lowest we've ever seen. But if you ever get those two guys, you know, pitching well and healthy for DeGrom and squaring up against each other, boy, could you ever see a 5 in a game? Like I said, I know we've seen some 5.5s. I remember, I think it was Roy Halladay, the late, great Roy Halladay against Lincecum in a playoff game was 5.5, like 10, 11 years ago. And we've seen some of them. We see 6.5s, you know, 7s obviously all the time. But I'm with you. Alcantara is he's no fun to hit against. He is just has incredible stuff.
Well, it could be like another Nestor Cortez Shane McClanahan matchup, which is what we're going to get actually on Monday between the Yankees and the Rays, a rematch of a game that we saw the Yankees win 4-3 this week on Wednesday. As we're talking to Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast for the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Scott Sadenberg here with you on 98.7 ESPN. First up, though, Alek Manoah takes the hill for Toronto, and if there's anybody besides McClanahan or even Nestor Cortez that should be the favorite to win the American League Cy Young, it's Alek Manoah, and he has been exceptional at home. What are you thinking about this matchup here for Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, should be a good one. A good test for the Yankees, who, you know, the naysayers will say, you know what, they beat up on a soft schedule, the Cubs and all these teams, the Guardians, which some of that is fair, but look, when you're when you have the record the Yankees have, you don't have to apologize. Everyone plays the same schedule roughly, so should be a good test. This is the kind of guy, you know, if you have one concern with the Yankees, it's you get into October and you face a good right-handed pitcher with nasty stuff, because if there's a flaw for them, you know, Gallo hasn't balanced the lineup like they'd hope. Rizzo helps a little bit, but they are very right-handed and they're prone to strikeouts. You know, the Judge, Stanton, Torres, LeMahieu, you just go down the line, they are very right-handed. So should be a good test. You know, depends what the number is, you know, in terms of this matchup. I might be looking to play a total, but certainly a good litmus test here for the Yankees.
Alek Manoah, 5-0 at home with a 1.55 ERA. Opponents are batting just 171 against him at the Rogers Center this year.
Pretty good. Got a good chance to start the All-Star game. Boy, that AL, it's going to be really hard to pick the AL All-Star team, which I know we're a few weeks away here from getting into all-star rosters and right about a month away from the all-star game. It's going to be hard to make that all-star team. It's going to be, you know, you can make a case for all five Yankees starting pitchers. Holmes to me is a lock. I think Holmes deserves some Cy Young buzz because, I mean, look, you can't even get the ball out of the infield against a guy. I mean, you don't even get a guy to second base against Holmes. All the guys, you know, on the Yankees, you look at somebody like Scooble for Detroit. You mentioned Manoah. It's a pretty crowded, pretty loaded field here for the American League All-Star team, especially with the pitchers.
And for the American League MVP, I don't see anybody surpassing Aaron Judge right now.
Nope. You're betting against an injury at this point. I don't know that there's a slump significant enough, realistic enough, that could keep this award away from him. I mean, look, he's a big guy. He stayed healthy the last 2 years, so this idea that he's injury prone, yeah, I mean, he's gotten hit on the – some of it has been bad luck in past years where he gets hit on the wrist one year, mm-hmm. I know, with like a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and he hurts his wrist. Well, that's not injury prone. You just got hit with the wrist, hit on the wrist with 98. That's not his fault. But look, he's a big guy, a check swing, and he pulls an oblique, God forbid. Anything can happen. You have to introduce that caveat. That being said, I mean, he's just so far ahead of the field, and the narrative is in his favor. He plays in New York. His team's going to win 100-plus games. The whole thing with the contract, I think, has brought attention to him, so that helps. And remember, 2017, he had a legitimate case to win the award just straight up. And now we figure out, you know, Altuve was cheating. He probably deserved that award. So I think everything points to Judge. I remember it had to be 10 days ago. I said, you know what? 3-1 isn't the best price. It's not sexy, but 3-1 is still a bet I would make. I know it ties up your money for a long time, but I think right now, I don't know.
He's
I don't
at, have even, he's at me. Even money even, right now. Yeah,
I think it'll be minus at some point. Remember, Ohtani at this time last year got to even and people kind of balked at that because it was 50-1. Well, you know, he closed minus 5,000. So sometimes, you know what, a good number is better than no number.
Would you take a flyer on a divisional price? I mean, the Yankees are absurd right now. It's minus 550 to win the division. They're not going to lose this division right now. But, you know, the Mets, with the Braves creeping up, the price on the Mets is actually dropping. It's at minus 185 right now.
Ooh. Wow, that's interesting. That's a little cheap on the Mets. With the Braves schedule coming up, you're getting your pitchers back. You know, with Cohen, they'll be aggressive. They'll make a trade at the deadline. I think they'll add a bat. I think they'll add a reliever. You know, Cohen is going to be very aggressive. Money's not going to be an object. So, yeah, that 185 is certainly interesting.
It is a good – yeah, because, I mean, it was much higher than that, and it obviously dropped with the Braves' incredible long winning streak. Will, appreciate the time. What do you got coming up on the podcast this weekend?
Next week, we got Bill James. We've got Howard Beck. We'll do some NBA draft. Plenty of Mets, plenty of Yankees. So before you know it, we'll have some football to talk about. So appreciate you having me on. VSiN.com/podcast for the podcast. And okay, got to get you on it at some point. We got to do a home and home, and I'll have you return the favor here.
Anytime. Who do you got? You got Johnny Davis to the Knicks at 11? What are you thinking?
That's a good question. I just think you have to take the best available player. You're not good enough right now where you worry about fit. You just kind of, evaluate the best player and try to find a superstar if you're the Knicks, because right now you have a lot of, okay players, C+, B- prospects. You need to kind of, swing for the fences and get a superstar here in New York to get this team over the top. I think you look at the East next year, it's just, I don't see a path where you're any better than really like a playing team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, be good, Scott. Appreciate you.
There he is. Will Hill hosts the New York City cast for the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Again, it's vsin.com/podcast, or just search New York City cast wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, 800-919-3776. Just listen to Keyshawn J. Will, talking about NBA stuff, and I was thinking a lot about the Celtics and why they came up short against the Warriors and what they need to do in the offseason. And I'm very curious to see what they do and how they respond. This is a team that, no one really thought about their shortcomings in the postseason until really this NBA Finals against the Warriors. But certainly you would think that they would need a point guard. They have to address the depth issues. They can't rely on just two players in Grant Williams and Derek White. But hey, I'm curious to see what happens. A full season of healthy Robert Williams. The Celtics are going to be interesting. Right now, they are the favorites to go back to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference, along with the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks are behind them. And in the West, you got the Warriors right there with the Clippers, as well as the Suns, Mavericks, Nuggets, and Grizzlies. I think the Clippers are going to be fascinating because obviously everyone's just banking on the health. You got a healthy Kawhi for a full season with PG and how that team is going to look next season. So the Clippers are a very popular bet right now on top of the futures market in the NBA. We're in the middle of the beginning part of the Stanley Cup Final. The Avalanche taking game one from the Lightning in overtime, 4-3. I lost the under in that game. I thought game one would go under. And you know what? After that first period, the game kind of played out how I thought it would. I'm on Tampa to win this series. I think their experience level and their style of play benefits them against Colorado. And they have such a massive goaltending edge, whether it's Darcy Kemper or Frankie in net for Colorado, it doesn't matter. None of them are as good as Andre Vasilevsky. And in that first period in game one, it seemed to me like Colorado just overwhelmed them, right? Now, everyone wanted to talk about the layoff and how all the days off would affect the Avalanche. And would the Lightning be tired? Now, there's no fatigue. I mean, everyone's tired at this point, but that was the idea. It was, well, you have the Avs coming in off this long layoff. And much like the Lightning had the layoff going into the series against the Rangers, and they started out slowly in game one and in game two, that was the expectations by many for the Colorado Avalanche. Certainly it was for me, which is why I like the under six. And that wasn't the case. They came out like a buzzsaw. They were fast. They were precise. They had plenty of open ice. And they really overwhelmed Tampa. Jumped out to that early lead. I credit Tampa for fighting back. But if you didn't watch that first period, and all you did was watch the second period and the third period and the minute of overtime, right? Because it was a minute 23 into overtime, game was over. But if you just watched like the second and third period, you would have come away from your TV thinking, these are pretty even teams. And maybe even Tampa having a slight edge because of how good Andrei Vasilevskiy was in those second and third periods. I mean, the dude made 34 saves. Problem was the Avalanche shot took 38 shots, right? But after that first period, he settled in, and the adjustments that John Cooper made during that first intermission, whatever he changed, they clogged up the ice. They didn't allow the Avalanche to have a ton of space. They were able to get those quick goals back to back and tie the game. But I thought Tampa really held their own and looked great. And they don't deserve to be big underdogs against this Avalanche team. And I still think they're absolutely live to win this series. Because I never felt, and this is what I always think it's funny when it comes to series prices, the line overreacts after one game, right? So the Avalanche go into this series as, you know, maybe a minus 160 favorite, something like that, minus 170, maybe even more. And now they're minus 275. And the Lightning on the comeback plus 225 up on BetMGM. To me, it's just too much of an overreaction, much like I felt it was an overreaction with the Celtics winning game one. But that's a little different circumstance because when you win game one as the road team, you steal the home advantage, and it's more of an impact if you steal game one versus if you steal game two. But the reason why I think nothing changes about my opinion in this series right now is because I never thought Tampa was going to win both games in Colorado. And as long as Tampa wins game two, which I will be on them, they're at plus right now. Where are they? I believe it's plus 135 in this game. Yeah. Yep. You got Colorado minus 160, Tampa plus 135. And if they win this game, well, then they did what they set out to do. They did what I hoped they would do, which is earn a split in Colorado. And once that's the case, they have home ice advantage. If they win both games in Tampa, they're going to Colorado up 3-1. And then it's Tampa in six, right? I mean, that's the bet. And that's the bet that offers you a real real juicy payout is taking Tampa in six, right? Let's see if I can find an exact outcome bet here. Do we have an outcome? All right, let's see. Series. That's the series spread. All right, correct series result. Tampa in six is 7-1. Tampa in seven is 6-1. Right now, Colorado is the favorite, is Colorado in five at 3-1. Colorado in six is plus 350. Colorado in seven plus 450. And a Colorado sweep plus 500. We're not getting a sweep. Tampa's too good. They're not losing the next three games. If you think Tampa's going to win the next four games, though, 20-1 on Tampa to win the next four games, which would be pretty crazy. But I think Tampa to win in six is the move at 7-1. But that's not the play. The play for me is on the Conn Smythe winner. If you believe Tampa is going to win this series, you can bet them at plus 225. Okay, seems like a reasonable bet. I think you're probably better off betting them game to game But okay, plus 225 if you think that they're going to come back and win this series. Or you can take a look at the Conn Smythe odds. And right now on BetMGM, Nikita Kucherov is plus 550 and Andre Vasilevsky is plus 600. You go a half unit on each, you're essentially winning more than the plus 225. Right? Worst case scenario, you're winning, let's see, 2.5. Well, 5.5. That's a 2.75. You lose your half unit. So your 2.05 units is your profit. All right. So it's like 20 cents cheaper if Kucherov wins. And you actually make a little bit more if Vasilevsky wins. That's if you do a half a unit on both as opposed to a full unit on the plus 225. Now, the question is, which of those players is the bet for Tampa? Because I think for Colorado, as much as Nathan MacKinnon is just as big of a favorite as Cale Makar is, I think Cale Makar wins this award. But there's no value in betting on MacKinnon or Makar at plus 150. As far as Tampa is concerned, if they win this series, who is the Conn Smythe winner? If you asked me 3 days ago, I had one answer for you. And coming up next, I'm going to give you the completely opposite answer.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.